Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B. I am a recovered compulsive eater in New York and living in the steps one day at a time. Today is Tuesday, November the 8th, 2022. Today we're reading in the Big Book and we're at page 40, the second paragraph. Today's readers are Shelley E. for the steps, 12 steps. Alex K. for the traditions. I have Stephanie L. reading the text. I have Dana P. reading page 164. Our newcomer greeter today is Noel E., and announcements are by Lois P. And thank you, everyone, for your service. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, November 7, 2022, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, the number is 19,612. That's 19612. This morning, Tuesday, November 8th, 2022, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 19,615. That's 19615. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, as OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps.
Oh, thanks, Diane. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley. And now we have Alex K. Please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Alex K. in California, the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service.
Thank you so much, Alex. Let's see how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers, 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. In order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared Friday or yesterday, then please speak up today. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. Excuse me, we're on page 40, paragraph 2, starting with, where am I? Let him tell you about it. So please, Stephanie, will you please start reading for us?
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in rainy, rainy Southern California this morning. Let him tell you about it. I was much impressed with what you fellows said about alcoholism, and I frankly did not believe it would be possible for me to drink again. I rather appreciated your ideas about the subtle insanity which precedes the first drink, but I was confident it could not happen to me after what I had learned. I reasoned I was not so far advanced as most of you fellows, that I had been usually successful in licking my other personal problems, and that I would therefore be successful where you men had failed. I felt I had every right to be self-confident, that it would be only a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And as I read this, I want to like do it in like a haughty voice as he tells what had happened, because, oh my gosh, first of all, I totally relate. I relate so much with many of the stories in the book. I relate though with, you know, the pride and the ego, and you know, there's no God in this paragraph. There is no power with a capital P at all. In fact, I decided to count how many I's, you know, I was impressed and I did not believe and I reasoned I was not so far advanced as you fellows. There's like 11 I's. It's all about Fred. You know, he's got all this knowledge. I had a lot of knowledge, you know. I've been in this program 17 years, and I have a year and 9 months of being recovered because, you know, I thought I knew I could quote the Big Book. I could tell you specifically how I worked the steps, but it was still so much about me controlling this and me, you know, Stephanie power, which at the end of the day, you know, there is no human power that can fight this disease. I need God. And the subtle insanity, which precedes the first drink, or for us, the first bite, to think that after a period of being free from compulsive overeating, that I can now manage better because, you know, I'm not so far advanced as you fellows, or I've been successful in licking my other personal problems. Well, yeah, I was that person who used to say, oh, I'm a high-functioning compulsive overeater because I can still build a career and work and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I was a high-functioning compulsive overeater. Never. It was a way to feel separate, and it was a lot of pride and ego. And what I know today is that subtle insanity that precedes that first bite, it's there. And the only thing blocking me from that is an all-powerful God who is saving me one day at a time from myself, from this disease. And as long as I stay connected with that power and realize that self-knowledge avails me nothing and I can't fight this on my own, then I get to live this new life, and I get to be free. I can't wait to hear what all of you have to say about this paragraph, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. So now be ready to take some names of people who would like to share. I would like your name, the initial of your last name, and the state that you're from, please.
Jen V in California. Oh, sorry.
Jen V
in California.
Got it. Thank you.
Robin P. Robin in Italy.
Great.
Justin B. in Washington.
Thank you. Star one to unmute. I have Jen V, Robin E, and Justin B. Okay, I'm going to throw my name in there, and then we can start. So let's start. Jen V, star one to unmute, please.
Hi, my name is Jen V. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia, and this paragraph, two things stood out for me. One is the I, like I, all the I's. There I go with the I's. I'm sorry, my train of thought is going. I was talking to somebody about, you know, how I was seeking contrary action and I was following my food plan. And I was talking about this, you know, and I was working the tools, and they said, well, where is God in this? And I was like, oh, geez, you're right. There is no God in this. And, you know, it's all about what I'm doing. I'm doing this. I'm doing that, you know. And it was a wake-up call. It was like, wow, you know, I'm really not in touch with my higher power right now. And that's what that paragraph made me think of. And, you know, talking about self-knowledge, you know, I've shared this thing before, you know, I have a social work degree, I studied psychology, I've been in therapy for years and years, you know, I've been in the other program for like multiple years, long, long time, worked steps in the other program, I know credits don't transfer, but I'm just saying, you know, I have a lot of self-knowledge. And I was still binging, you know, it was all those things, you know, it was still engaging in compulsive food behaviors. And so, you know, letting God into my life was like, you know, I realized that I was in self-will, you know, and self-obsession and the ego edging God out, you know, that's what I was doing. And working on, you know, trying to incorporate my higher power into my life today and communicate, you know, on a daily basis. And just be aware, you know, of that conscious contact. So, you know, I'm a work in progress. I don't do it perfectly, but I try each day to do the best I can. And I pray, you know, for the willingness to be willing to do what I need to do and to let God in. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you so much for letting me share. I hope everybody has a great day.
Thank you so much, Jen. Robin E. followed by Justin B.
Hi, it's Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in the Amalfi Coast in Italy, in Amalfi. And my husband and I are traveling through Europe and for 3 months. And I'm just so grateful for abstinence and recovery and to be doing this abstinently. It's such a dream come true. You know, what struck me about this paragraph was self-knowledge avails me nothing. You know, he was armed with self-knowledge, and he went out about his merry way, and Russian roulette happened, you know, and that was my experience before abstinence and recovering in this program. And, you know, it's not about self-knowledge for me. It's about, you know, working my recovery, turning my will and my life over to the care of God, praying only for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out, living in the steps and you know, reaching out to my fellows. I'm being there for my fellows as well. And, you know, living in 10, 11, and 12, having worked the steps and just really letting this be a way of life. You know, I'm a gluten-free vegan, and when we get into a new town, because we're in 22 cities and towns in during 3 months, and just the first thing I do is go to a supermarket and get what I need with my husband. And, you know, I'm just so grateful because, you know, I am so grateful. I'm coming up on 7 years of abstinence one day at a time, and it's all through grace and mercy and this program. And God bless you all and sending you all big hugs. And thank you. I pray for abstinence for everyone. Thank you. The past.
Thanks, Robin. Justin B.
Hey, this is Justin B. in the state of Washington and living in the state of recovery for today. This paragraph, the sentence that jumped out at me and brought back kind of a flashback of memory was, I was much impressed with what you fellows said about alcoholism, and I frankly did not believe it would be possible for me to drink again. I remember, probably 12 years ago, I was sitting in a conference-type meeting, and a speaker got up, and he shared his experience of recovery, of addiction, of the 12 steps, and how it, how the application of those principles in his life had recovered him. And I was sitting there in full denial of my own addiction to food, my own addictions, and saying, this guy has been there. And I kind of identified with it, but I still was not willing to be honest at all. And I went and I bought a 12-step book. I read it. I took notes. And I thought, I got this now. The fatal words, I got this. Anytime I have those thoughts or those words come out of my mind, I got this, man, my head has to be on a swivel, because all that means is I am on my face in a plate within minutes if I rely on myself. You know, my whole life, much like Fred, things had kind of come, I don't want to say easily, but they had come without too much effort on my part. The efforts that I put in yielded fruit, not in this area. The efforts I put in were half measures, and as we know, half measures avail us nothing. What a blessing it is to strive to be on this path one day at a time, to apply these principles in all my affairs, and to see the fruits of recovery rather than the fruits of addiction. Justin from Washington, still a recovered compulsive overeater, but one that is one bite away from being in full-blown relapse. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Justin. Hi, my name is Diane B. I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from New York, living in the steps one day at a time. Thank you, everyone, for your service. I love this paragraph. Of course, I love probably all the paragraphs. But, you know, what strikes me is how much my ego was involved. I came into the rooms in 1986, and I remember thinking when I walked in, like, well, I would always compare myself out. Oh, well, I'm not like that. I'm not as bad as her. Oh, my gosh, he does that. I don't do that. I was always comparing myself, so I wasn't able to see, see where I could identify in. I was comparing myself out. I didn't really feel like part of this organization other than the fact that people were talking about things that I would never talk about. Oh my gosh, what people did with food. And I was like, oh my God, I would never talk about that. You know, I was always full of shame. And this disease is, you know, a lot of us have been shamed into not talking about it or into hiding. I've been a sneak eater my entire life. It took me years to realize that, yes, I have these same things. I do the same behaviors or some of the same behaviors. I have my same thoughts as some of the people or some of the things that I would hear at meetings. And it finally dawned on me that I needed to treat my alcoholic mind. You know, I used to go on diets, I would be fine. But I could never change my thinking. I never had a different way of living or a better way of living until I really hit rock bottom. And then 3 years ago, something clicked. And my sponsor really took me through these steps and took me through the big book in a way that I had never done before. So, you know, but again, I realized that I had to treat my mind, and I still have a fat head. I have a friend who tells me I have a fat head because I still think of myself as being fat, even though I'm in a normal body size. But it's taken me longer to do that than it did for me to get abstinent and get recovered through the steps. And living in the steps every day, calling on my higher power, praying every day, meditating every day. You know, I have my alarm set on my phone for every 2 hours to remind myself to turn my will and my life over to my higher power, because I take my ego back all the time. My ego is so big, and I take my will back all the time. So, again, the alcoholic mind or the compulsive eater's mind, however you want to word it, that's what, for me, what really needed to be treated, and the only way for me to do that was through my higher power. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass. And we're now open for more speakers. So if you want to share, star one to unmute, and I would take your name and your initial.
Michelle F.
Michelle F.
Monica K.
Monica K.
Bonnie B.
Mary G.
Bonnie G. Whoa. Bonnie B, Mary G. Who was after Mary?
Kelly H.
Kelly H. Great. One more? Okay, let's stop there.
Holly,
okay,
A.
Thank you. I'm sorry, who were you? Holly?
No, Sally A. It's okay,
okay
if we don't
Sally.
Have time. I can share tomorrow.
Yep. We might. Well, we'll see what happens. Okay, Sally, I got you. So I have Michelle F., Monica K., Bonnie B., Mary G., Kelly H., Sally A. When you share, please give us the state that you're from. So we'll start with Michelle.
Hi, Michelle F. is in Foxtrot from Massachusetts. And, you know, I'm not sure if it would end this paragraph or the next one. It was only a matter of keeping on guard. Keeping on guard is exhausting. And that's not just with the food, which is what I was trying to do before I entered OA, but with everything, my behavior, who I am as a person, trying to fit in, trying to do the right thing, trying to be a good person. It's exhausting. And I really only got some relief when I admitted I can't do this anymore. I can't do this by myself. I don't know how to manage life. My life is unmanageable. I'm unhappy. I need help. I always wanted some spiritual life, you know, spirituality. I wasn't sure I believed in God, but I was willing to try it because I was so unhappy. And that's what gave me relief. And any time that I am in my self-will and I'm trying to be a good person and be better and change my character defects and do the right things, I'm in self, and I'm not asking for help. I'm not asking my higher powers for help, and I'm certainly not admitting my humanness and allowing myself to make mistakes, to not be perfect. was only when I was able to do that, and I do it imperfectly, that I got any sense of relief. And that's the best part about coming into OA and doing these steps, is realizing it's hard because I really don't want to rely on other people. I'm very afraid of it. I don't trust people, and I don't feel accepted. But it's, you know, I'm facing reality. This is what I need to do. We were never meant to live in isolation. Humans are social animals. We need each other. And I need to reach out and help other people. And I've gotten to see how good that feels when I stretch a little bit outside what I'm comfortable with and do something that I know is hard and I don't want to do. I just reap so many benefits. And, you know, I'm not perfect. I've been in the program a long time, but I have 71 days because this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful and sneaky. And I was people-pleasing. I was eating because I was afraid to upset someone else and ask for what I wanted. And so the longer I'm in the program, the more I do these steps, the more I see that I need help with, you know, that I need to change, that I need to work on, and that that I'm not going to be able to do it by myself. So I hope everybody has a good abstinent day and keep coming. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Monica K., what state are you from, please?
Good morning. My name is Monica K. from California.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your service, and thank you, everybody, for being here, and welcome anybody who is new or feeling new. My name is Monica Kay, and wow, I love this passage. That speaks about me, and yeah, I always thought I know a lot, and I read a lot of books, and I comprehend so much, and it was very hard for me to submit that I don't know. However, this disease or the sickness or even God are so good that it helped me to be on my knees at some point, and I was defeated. I was, the food stopped working for me. I thought I don't want to live anymore. I wasn't going to kill myself, but I definitely didn't want to live. I was depressed and sad. And thanks God for my sponsor who guided me precisely through the big book and helped me to see the world in different light. And basically what I see is that I don't know anything anymore. I think I know, and that's cute. That's like a child, but I really don't. And that's allowed me to God enter every day into my heart and get recovered. But not only this, like create a new reality, a new relationship, and new experiences. And yes, and I had to follow somebody else because I was like a little child, little girl, 3 years old, you know, crying and screaming and being lost and being asleep. And the other thing which I love, because I had many sponsors in the past, and I was so defiant. But I remember one time I went, I thought I got it. Somebody mentioned I got it, and I went to my sponsor at the time. I said, you know, every time I think I got it, it's just something off. And I don't know why, but I want to leave the program. And she looked at me, and she pondered. She looked at me, and she said, honey, yes, you got it. You got the disease. And I'm like, ah. So that was adorable. I remember that. And I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica. Bonnie B., star one to unmute.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your service. And I want to second the welcome to all newcomers. So glad that you're here. It's a beautiful spot to be. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of God, living in Minnesota. So as I read this paragraph, I think to myself, this is part of the process. This is part of my journey. This is exactly how it plays out. I came down that path. Right on page 31, it says, here are some of the methods that we tried. I've written all the things in the margin that I tried. And every single time it was like, great, thank you so much. I love the phrases. He was much impressed and rather appreciated. Not desperate yet. Still thinking that he could do it. As did I, and like the previous speaker, I've had many sponsors. And oh, how kind they have all been. And every single one of them offered me a piece to my puzzle. And the puzzle is, if I could have done it, I would have done it. And so it's never going to be lack of desire. It's never going to be lack of willpower. It's always going to be lack of power. In order for me to come to that point, I have to surrender and fully concede. It's in my DNA. I can't fix it. I can't take it out. But there is a solution. There is a solution. And God has given us the solution. And the solution is in this book. And the solution is going to him, you know, for the next 20 seconds. Right? I mean, he's just given us what we need, but we do have to walk down this path in order to get to that point where we're willing, where I was willing to say, you know what? It just is what it is. And instead of running from it and resenting it, I now embrace it and I thank God for it because it is the best life I could have ever dreamed. So with that, I will pass and thank you so much.
Thank you, Bonnie B. Next, we have Mary G. Please give us the state you're from.
Hi, good morning. This is Mary G. In Chicago, Illinois. And what this passage makes me think about basically is step one. You know, this guy saying, you know, I appreciate your ideas about this, you know, this subtle insanity, but I was confident it wouldn't happen to me. So it seems as if he's identified the fact that, like, he can't drink, you know. You know, I was impressed what you said about alcoholism. So, okay, I can't drink. I can't, you know, take that first bite, which is the allergy part of it. And it almost is like he's poo-pooing the idea of the subtle insanity, which I feel like is, you know, they're equally hard, the disease aspect of it, but then the insanity aspect of it. But the insanity part of it, as we all know, the steps in God is what alleviates that. And he's almost, you know, downplaying it. And I feel like I've done that in the past. I don't even think I've got to the point of doing that. I didn't even understand the insanity part of it, that, you know, huge aspect. I was able to identify those foods that I couldn't eat, and I thought, okay, I got it. I just don't ingest these substances, and I'm good to go, which is, like, only half of the first step. I can't fix my brain. I cannot fix my broken brain. Only a power greater than me can bring me to, you know, the place where the thought no longer comes. Well, I don't want to say no longer, but where I have tools to deal with that. So that's kind of what I got out of this, basically step one. And yeah. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary. Now we have Kelly H.
Good morning. This is Kelly H. from North Carolina, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm so thankful for everyone's sharing and services. For me, this paragraph is really timely. I've struggled a lot with my relapse and one day at a time and starting day one over and over again. I sort of feel like I'm, you know, in Groundhog Day a little bit. But this paragraph has been great, and I've had a very good conversation with my sponsor this week. And I am now, it is not about the food for me. I mean, it is to follow a plan, of course, in abstinence. But part of that is just, will I completely submit and do what my sponsor tells me to do? And I'm beginning day two of being submissive in that posture, whatever she tells me to do. If I have to stand on my head today, if she asks me to do that, I'm going to do it. Because I've played patty cake with my recovery for months. And lost a significant amount of weight when I was in my first year and a half in this program. But then I just had 40 pounds pile on me over the last few months.
And my heart is literally breaking because I'm not doing well. But so day two, here I am. In this paragraph, in the middle of it, it says, I rather appreciated your ideas about the subtle insanity which precedes the first drink. You know, I wrote in the margin that appreciation, my appreciation for the program is there. I see it, I hear it in all these calls, but my appreciation is dismissed by my self-confidence, which is my insanity. How is it that confidence, which is normally a good thing, is so able to dismiss that which I appreciate? This kind of confidence is what would dismiss anybody who would seek to help me and dismiss their ability and the power of their God and the story of their life so that I could stay in my insanity. My confidence is clearly a broken tool here. So my insanity with this disease makes me a dismisser. I dismiss the power of others and say, it's good for you, but not for me. And so I'm dismissing my insanity, you say, by staying in my appreciation. So I just wrote, when insanity is running the show, my will and my guard is not effective. I don't have any ability to be a good guard member or somebody who can practice self-confidence in the right way.
Gentle reminder.
So, thank you. With that, I'll pass. Have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kelly. All right, Sally A., we definitely have time for you. Star one to unmute.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your service. This is Sally A. I live in New York now, and I am one day at a time recovering from this horrible, insidious disease. I really appreciate this paragraph, and honestly, the story of Fred really does speak to my heart, especially where he says self-knowledge would fix it. You know, on page 39, I've had abstinence in my 35, almost 40 years, actually, in OA, 5 years twice. And what goes wrong? And so on the bottom of 39, he says he made up his mind to quit drinking altogether. So he went on another diet. And honestly, the first time I had 5 years of abstinence in this program, it was really, I was having a diet with group support. That's absolutely where my head was at. I had no clue about the importance of the 12 steps. I knew them by heart. And I did read the book intermittently in my visits to OA, but I really loved the here and now because I could talk about me. And so when I, after years of back in the food, found a vision for you and learned how important this big book is, I got to a new place in my recovery, the top of page 40, where it says self-knowledge would fix it. And honestly, I had a lot of knowledge. I had not only memorized the 12 steps, but I had memorized paragraphs in this book and just about where everything that I needed was in order to actively do a step 12. But when we get to this page and the paragraph that we're on, and let him tell you about it, I was much impressed with what your fellow said about alcoholism, and I frankly did not believe it would be possible for me to drink again. And so he, instead of identifying in, he is comparing himself out. And, you know, as I see all the I's, I don't have to read them because we have a number of paragraphs that have the I. And what really speaks to my heart, I felt I had every right to be self-confident that it would only be a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. You know, we used to talk about this in the program, keeping the memory green so that I wouldn't pick up again. And it was really crazy because that's not what this program really is about. It's about a spiritual recovery. And being that I've been myself a Christian since I was 18 and I'm now 62. What the heck is wrong with me? Why am I not skinny as a rail? And, you know, when we look at 98, page 98, and it says in that first full paragraph, the last line, it says, job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people and upon myself. I had a dependence on God. Thank you. And so let me just say this. I have, I've had a very wise sponsor say to me, when I said that I tend to put God in the seat next to me, the passenger seat, instead of putting God in the driver's seat. And she said to me, no, Sally, you put God in the trunk. As soon as you think you have that self-confidence, you put God in the trunk. And that is my downfall, not to walk one day at a time with my higher power. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Sally. We have time for maybe two more people who want to speak, maybe three if you only take 2 minutes each. If you'd like to share, star one, unmute.
M-O.
I didn't hear that. What was your first name? Deb O. You're not coming in clearly. I'm sorry.
Kathy
okay,
D.
Kim.
Kathy D. and Kim.
Alex K.
And Alex. Okay, that's it. Thank you. All right. So I've got Kathy D., Kim, and Alex K. So, Kathy, you're up.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can. We can.
Okay. Sorry about that. I haven't spoken on this meeting in such a long time. My name is Kathy, and I am a food addict in Colorado. So I really resonate with this paragraph. I did not frankly believe it would be possible for me to drink again, eat again. Subtle insanity, confident it could not happen to me after what I had learned, not so far advanced. So that is absolutely my story, my journey in this recovery process. I would submit to working the steps in rapid succession, and I would become neutral with food, but then I would not enlarge my spiritual life. And then I would go back to the food. And it was really only through finding a process of depth and weight in working the steps where I literally spent 9 weeks in step one, gaining self-knowledge. Yes, self-knowledge is important because it motivates me because I know I'm doomed. Once I learn about the disease, I know I'm doomed, and unless my only other option is to be doomed or to, you know, pick up the simple spiritual toolkit laid at my feet with everything I've got. So I did that, and I had no power, not even to surrender myself. God had to surrender me. God had to take me where I needed to go in order to be willing. And today I'm free, and I'm so thankful. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Next, we have Kim. And Kim, I did not get the initial of your last name or your state. Could you please tell us that?
Yes, hi. This is Kim O from Alabama. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. What was the initial of your last name?
O.
O, thank you. Okay, Kim O. Go ahead.
Hi, Kim O from Alabama, a compulsive overeater, and I just wanted to say that I could relate to the reading, always speaking in I, even thinking that, you know, I have the tools, I know how to do it, I know what works. You know, but yet that's not the solution for me. The solution is is a higher power, it is a surrendering, and it's recognizing that when I'm in the food, that my life is unmanageable. And it's a conflict. It's a conflict for me to completely surrender and let go of that control, and to forget how absolutely beautiful it can be and how it works when I surrender, when I'm powerless and I work the steps, I get a sponsor, I have that relationship with a power greater than myself, but somehow I always want to think that I can change this, that I can stop, and if I play it through, that's not how it works. And when I'm not in recovery, it's getting worse and worse. So just wanted to claim my seat. Thank you for chairing and the reading, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Kim. Alex, we have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. It's Alex in California. This reading reminds me of the self-delusion, the many times I believed the lies of the disease. So many times I thought, this is it. This is the new idea that will help me control my eating. But it never worked. My ideas were always some form of me and my self-will and willpower. And every time I was convinced this time it'll work, but this time I won't binge. I won't eat my binge foods. And every time I couldn't stop binging. Yet the next time I came up with one of my ideas, I was convinced again. Sure, I'd found the answer, only to fail again. It was a vicious cycle. But I've learned over the years, I was trying to do the impossible, so of course I failed. On my own, I can never control my disease. I need a power greater than myself. That's the only thing that will remove my food obsession and compulsion. And I'm so grateful I found my wonderful loving higher power through this program and found the solution in the steps. And now I can surrender and stop fighting and get out of that vicious cycle, which is such a relief. I'm out of my ideas, and that's a good thing. Now I just need to ask for help and follow suggestions of the program and take the steps and cooperate with my higher power and rely on my higher power. And I'm receiving so many gifts. Life is really good now. Thanks, everyone, for helping me with my recovery. Pass.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, everyone who's on the line today. I really appreciate your service so we can have a great meeting. So today, let's see, we're now going to close the reading we're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Dana P. please read our vision for you, a vision for you.
My pleasure, Diane. Dana P. here in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then,